And I was like, wow. Like my inner wounding and my perception couldn't have been more off. But this is why it's so important to talk about these fears and to face these fears and to work with the stories that we're creating inside of us, because oftentimes we're projecting our old stuff onto the situation.
Hey, Soul Family, welcome to the Alive and Awake podcast. I'm your host, Alicia Kay, and I have spent the last 20 years teaching people how to work with their wounds and overcome their greatest fears so they can learn how to thrive in a world where they were only taught to conform. Each week, we will dive deep into the practical, the spiritual, and the mystical so I can teach you how to do the inner work to know yourself, trust yourself, and eventually love yourself enough to create a world where you feel fully alive, awake, and free. So don't forget to hit that subscribe button and never miss an episode. Ready? Let's dive in.
Have you ever left a conversation or a situation convinced that someone was mad at you or that someone was judging you, only to find out later that the story that you were creating in your head was completely wrong? Yes, this happened to me in real time last week. So I was sitting at the dinner table having a wonderful time and conversation with my new partner and his son and my son, and I absolutely felt really triggered, where I was convinced that my partner and his son were having judgmental thoughts about me because I never taught my son, who is now 12, how to use a knife and how to cut his own meat. Because I'm a mom and I love my kid, I never showed him how. And I knew that when I brought him his pork chop and sat it at the dinner table that day, he was gonna have to figure out how to use a knife in real time. But because I'm the loving mother that I am, I didn't want to cut his meat for him and make him feel like a little boy that didn't know how to do it. So I gave it to him knowing that he was going to struggle a little bit. And so picture this. There I am, real time at the dinner table, and my partner's son is trying to help my son hold the knife right and learn how to cut it and learn how to use it. And it was really awkward. And the more time that we spent there, the more flooded I became and the more constellated I became into a younger version of myself that then felt very protective as a mom, because my son wasn't getting it. And he wasn't doing it correctly. Like, it's not that serious. It really wasn't that serious. But you also have to understand that a lot of my wounding comes from men, comes from the masculine. I wasn't raised with a father. I wasn't raised in a situation where I had healthy male role models around me. So I'm not used to the banter and the competition and the things that happen in bro code, where it's like they pick on each other. That's how men show their love, is like they're constantly bantering back and forth and they're playing jokes and they're competing and they're like, I bet you I can do it better than you. There's this language that's happening around me in real time that's clearly meant to help me correct some of my own inner child wounding, to realize that, like, no, Alicia, it's not always an attack. No one's out to get you. No one's out to judge you. They're just men and boys being men and boys. And so I'm sitting here at the dinner table, and finally I had to say, like, he's never cut his meat before. I've never taught him how to do it. It's not a skill that he has. I felt a little bit defensive, and it didn't come out that dramatically because obviously we were all being playful and it was fine. But afterwards, I literally left that conversation or that time where things just started to build up inside of me, because I had the story, or I created the belief, that they're judging me as a mom because I never taught my son this. What happened over the next 4 days is I was seeing everything through the lens of this wound that clearly my inner child was still holding on to. So I looked at everything through that. Later that night, I felt like my partner may have been upset with me because I gave my son his phone when his son was on his phone at the end of the night. And I was like, no, I only gave him his phone because your son has his. And he was like, oh, okay. But I interpreted that, or my body resonated that as, oh, he must be upset with me. And then a couple days later, we were having another conversation and something else came up. But this set the ball rolling for all of this old stuff to rise to the surface inside of me for me to obviously face and look at. And so the next time that I saw my partner, he just knew. I don't have a poker face. I can't hide stuff. He was just like, what is coming up in you? And in typical fashion, which is why I actually love him and respect him very, very much, is he's not the type of man that is going to let me pretend that everything is fine. And I certainly have a part of me that wants to do that because I have been a woman that doesn't like conflict. I avoid it like the plague. I don't like to have uncomfortable conversations, even though I know that they're important and I choose to have them in certain contexts. Like, he knew it the minute that I walked into his place and he was like, sit down, talk to me, what's coming up? And I was like, oh gosh, I don't know if I want to do this. But what I came to understand through doing my own inner work and knowing that the fears that are coming up inside of me are based on fears that my inner child is still holding on to based on my own trauma and past wounding was that I had a part of me that when I was a little girl that felt very, very inadequate. Because I was not raised in a typical family household. My mom was a teenager. I was raised in a lot of chaos, raised in a lot of inconsistency. I wasn't taught a lot of things. I had to learn a lot of things on my own. And so because my family unit didn't look like other families that I would go visit, I often felt very, very inadequate. Like, I felt like there were things that I should know that I just didn't know and I wasn't taught, which I know is part of my programming and part of my conditioning and the things that I'm even still currently working through as a healer, as a helper, as a therapist, as a coach in real time. So I will tell you that the work is never done, but you just get quicker to recognize when you're triggered, what's coming up in you, and what the protocol is to handle these fears. So I did everything I needed to do on the back end or on my side of the fence of understanding that what happened to me at the dinner table that day was I essentially regressed into my mind. Some people like to call that I was constellated into a younger version of myself where I was triggered and feeling like I was inadequate because I didn't teach my son how to properly use a knife or cut his meat at the dinner table. My stuff, partner and his son had nothing to do with it. It was all me, what I was perceiving, thinking, and feeling at that time. Now, I guarantee you that if I were to ask my son about it, he probably wouldn't have cared. He would have been like, big deal, mom, no big deal. He's very confident as a young boy, so I don't feel like there was anything wrong in that, which I know it's totally my stuff, and I took ownership of that. So I put pen to paper, and the protocol always is, what is coming up in you? What story are you telling yourself? Well, the story that I was telling myself was that my partner thinks that I'm inadequate, or my partner's son thinks that I'm inadequate, and that I didn't do a good job as a mom. And when my partner sat me down, I was like crying, like sobbing. And he's like, look at me, Alicia, look at me. And I couldn't even look at him because I felt so embarrassed that this was even happening to me right now. But because I know that I'm in a loving, safe relationship with a very conscious man that would never want to hurt me and never wants me to feel this way, I knew that I had to tell him what was going on. And when I told him what was going on, he was just like, oh my gosh, Alicia. He started to tear up. He became emotional. He was like, I would never think that you were doing a bad job as a mom. He was like, you're an amazing mother. He was like, I want you to help me mother my son. I've never felt more confident bringing a woman into my life as I do that when I'm with you. I want to work through these things with you. You have to talk to me. You have to open up to me. Do not keep these things inside of you. And I realized that obviously he wasn't thinking anything at all. He wasn't angry with me. He wasn't frustrated with me. He told me that when that whole thing happened with the phone, that it was actually he was frustrated with his son for going on his phone without asking him if he could. And therefore, it set the stage for my son to want his phone. And he felt like his son didn't do the right thing in that moment. And he wasn't frustrated with me at all. And I was like, wow, wow. My inner wounding and my perception couldn't have been more off. But this is why it's so important to talk about these fears and to face these fears and to work with the stories that we're creating inside of us. Because oftentimes we're projecting our old stuff onto the situation where we need to give it our attention so that we don't have to feel that way. In the past, like there is a part of me that like I used to have a runner, a part of my personality that would run from discomfort, break off relationships, like not stay in anything too long that felt uncomfortable as a way to stay safe, stay regulated, stay, what's another word that I was looking for? Like to not let anybody get too close so that I couldn't be hurt because I had a lot of trauma that was stored in my body and a part of me that wanted to protect myself from men, from getting hurt, from relationships would cut and run. And I made a decision a long time ago to never do that again, to never, ever, ever hurt someone in that way because I couldn't face what was uncomfortable or what was coming up inside of me. But anyways, we're bringing it back to real present time in that I had to be willing to do my work on my side of the fence to know that the story that I was creating around my partner and his son must think I'm inadequate as a mom because I never taught my son a simple skill like this, which was my stuff, right? So then once we list out what the belief is or what the story is or what we're programmed to perceive, then we actually have to dispute the lie. How do I know that this is a lie? Because all of our fears are misperceptions or at least generalizations, or we are over catastrophizing that in our mind. And when we actually choose to look at the situation, what is true? We speak truth over the lie. I know that I'm in a safe relationship. I know that my partner loves me unconditionally. I know that this is my stuff coming up in me. I know that my son did not take it as seriously as I'm taking it. What I do know is true is that I am in a conscious union. I am in a divine union. I am in a safe relationship with a loving man that would never, ever want to do anything to hurt me, shame me, or for me to feel like I am not being taken seriously. I'm not being heard. That's also a lot of my own wounding, which I'm sure a lot of you can relate to. But we have to be willing to face this and work through this. So I wrote it all down and I felt like I was in somewhat of a neutral space, but I knew I needed to have a conversation with him about it, which is why it was written all over my face when I walked through his door. So I tell you these things so that you can understand that the fears that are coming up in us are always based on past programming and past realities that we used to live in when we were younger. Our ego, our personality self, is made to protect us from fear. That's the only thing that we have in our human capacity to keep us alive, to keep us surviving this world that feels very unsafe, right? If we look at everything going on in the world right now, we have 1,000+ reasons to believe that we are unsafe and that we need to brace ourselves and that we need to survive. And I am here to show you that we are not just here to survive our life. We are here to thrive in our life. We are here to feel safe, abundant, free, prosperous, blessed, at ease, and at one with our Creator. So if I believe that that is true, and I believe that every single fear that I have is something that I am meant to face and to confront and to get to the other side of, then I can see what is real, what is true and what is the lie. Our ego personality self will come online within 5 seconds. If we are having a thought, if we are in a situation where we're triggered, all of the wounding from the past comes flooding into the present moment. And the only thing that we can do in the present moment is to know that we're being constellated, to know that we're being regressed, and to be willing to do our work on our side of the fence to face what's coming up. A Course in Miracles, lesson 7, 8, and 9 say that I see only the past. I see only the past. Lesson number 8 is my mind is preoccupied with the past. Lesson number 9 is I see nothing as it is now. So if we put all of those lessons together, what that means is that every single thing in our outer reality is neutral. Only our thoughts, feelings, and perceptions about it make it not so. So if I know that my mind is perceiving every single thing through the past and that is projecting our past wounds onto the situation, then I know that I have work to do to clean up what's coming up in me so that I can feel neutral inside, so that I can see the truth, so that I can have conversations with an open heart to ask questions that say, hey, this is what's coming up in me. Is that actually what you meant? And so after that conversation where I was able to have my partner radically comfort my inner child and reassure me in the way that I needed to hear, I made a pact with him and I said, instead of holding this all inside of me and trying to figure this out on my own, which I'm really good at because I'm incredibly analytical and I will not have a conversation with somebody until I know what is mine, what I think is happening and what I'm perceiving, and then being able to say, am I on track here? Is this accurate? Is this what you believed? Was this your intention? Is this what was coming up inside of you? Because I've gotten myself to a place where I'm no longer reactive. I used to react. I used to get mad. I used to yell. I used to shut down. I still shut down a little bit. And he does notice that. But that shutting down is so that I don't react in real time or say something that I don't mean, because I want to get clear about what's coming up inside of me. And you have the opportunity to do that too. And I encourage you to do that, because the more you know your stuff and the more you know yourself and the more you're curious about what's happening inside of you, the more you can communicate that in a way where it doesn't break down the person or break down the relationship or sabotage what's actually really good and what's amazing for you in your life, which we could talk about in another episode. And I actually did create one on something called joy trauma, where we don't trust the good because we've been so conditioned to live in survival mode. And that when the good is happening, we're waiting for the other shoe to drop. So it's a very real thing. I'll put that episode in the show notes below if you want to go and look at what joy trauma is and how to work with that. But anyways, we have to know that everything is neutral, and it's our thoughts, feelings, and perceptions about it that are based on our past experiences that make it not. We are one with the creator of the universe. We are one with God. We are one with love. And those feelings and those fears of unworthiness, inadequacy, not good enoughness, feeling like we're going to be rejected, feeling like everyone's out to get us or like the world isn't on our side, is what we are meant to work through as individuals so that we can become one with the source of love and the intelligence that created us, that's always working through us, right? Because I do believe that we live in a loving world and it's only our thoughts and perceptions that make it not so, then I know that I am meant to create a new story, one that is actually aligned more with the truth of who we are, not only who we are through the remembering of who we are, but that we are one with God. We are one with creation. We are one with love. We live in a benevolent, loving universe. And it is only our wounding and what our personality ego self is holding on to that is keeping us attached to the suffering and to the fear and to the scarcity and to the lie. And this book that I've been working through, actually, I worked through the whole book. It's amazing. I encourage you to pick it up if you want to learn how to look at things through a higher level of consciousness, which we certainly will talk about more in these episodes. But number 20, page 20 of, wrong book. There's two. So one of them is The Way of Mastery. Number one is The Way of the Heart. Trilogy number two is The Way of Transformation. So page number 20 in the first book, The Way of the Heart, through Jeshua ben Joseph, which is Jesus's original name before he became Yeshua, before he became known as Jesus. So it says, therefore, indeed, loving friends, lesson one, dance often, rejoice, play often. Let this be the year in which you bring up within yourself everything that is unworthy of the mind of Christ. Every thought of scarcity, every sense of unworthiness, and every fear. Let them come up, look at them, embrace them, transmute them through your own love of self and through your honesty. Accept where you are and don't pretend to be otherwise, for the wisest are always the humblest. The truth revealed is always the work that we do. And when we are willing to confront our perceptions, we open our mind to see other possibilities that are out there. Because our thought is only one possibility in the multiverse. We live in an infinite world of possibilities. And so if the one thought is, we'll use my example or my story, what happened to me as an example, is my partner believes that I'm inadequate and that I'm not doing a good job as a mom, then the equal and opposite have to be true as well, because we live in a world of duality. So if this is one perception that has the potential of being true, then there's also the equal and opposite that are true. Is my partner believes that I am so adequate as a mom and that he trusts me fully that I'm doing a good job with my son, which is why he loves me. And that is actually the truth that he expressed to me when he felt so sad that I would even think that he would be judging me, right? We have to be willing to face these things, and we have to be willing to do the work to know what's coming up in us, to transmute it, to transform it, to alchemize it into a higher level of truth and possibility. And as you start to do this, it will feel very uncomfortable at first, I'll be honest. But when you start doing it and you get it and you get it and you get it and you're like, oh, okay, this is it, you're able to get to it much faster. When I first started doing this, it felt like it took weeks. It felt like it took months. It felt like it was grueling. And then eventually it was like, oh, this is the formula. This is the work. This is the fear. This is the lie. This is the truth. This is what I choose to believe, over and over again, until it becomes automatic, until you align so much with your higher self in human form that you know the fears that are coming up in you are just based on an old story, old program, old wounds, own reality that you choose to not live in anymore. So if this speaks to you, if this is something that you need help with, if there are fears that are coming up in you and you can't seem to get to the other side of them, or you don't understand why they're there, I invite you to apply to come on my new series, Awaken with Alicia, where we will be doing live coaching and live transformation in real time so that I can help you understand what is coming up inside of you so that you can then attach with the truth that wants to come through you. And I can guarantee that your story will help hundreds of people as they listen to it in real time. So the link to apply for that Awaken with Alicia episode is in the show notes below. And I can't wait to do this work with you so that you can understand that you are a conscious creator, that your mind is playing tricks on you by what you perceive is to be true. And if you choose to stay in your head, you are not staying in your heart. And that is where all of the answers lie, right? Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is within you and that you are meant to break free from this 3D matrix of programming that wants to keep you attached to your limited self. Who you are is pure potential, pure possibility, and it's waiting to be birthed inside and through you. So don't be afraid to let me know what came up in the show notes below, and I will see you again on another episode next time. Thank you for being here. Thank you for supporting me. Thank you for aligning with this work and for doing the work within yourself so that you can change your outer reality and create a new identity. Because as you do, as you choose to align with love, as you choose to awaken to the truth of your divinity and who you really are, it changes the consciousness of the planet, one ripple, one little effect at a time.